My first guest in this edition is Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter. He's a Republican representing his state's 11th congressional district and was easily reelected to his seat on Tuesday night. However, as he returns for the next Congress, he will see a larger Democratic majority on both sides of Capitol Hill and, of course, a Democrat in the White House. And Congressman, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
What is the Republican attitude going into the next couple of years here? We knew that the Democrats were going to keep control of Congress, and for the most part, Republicans kind of exceeded expectations. Barack Obama was also considered a favorite. So how's the party looking forward the day after?
Well, we don't view anything where we lose seats as a victory. What we're doing now is we're picking ourselves up, and we're rededicating ourselves to the fundamental goal of the Republican Party, which is to keep America the greatest nation on earth. We're going to build up policies based upon our principles that wind up helping the American people in terms of their families, in terms of their communities, in terms of empowering them to meet the challenges of our global age. We want to reassure the American people that we do have a vision, and our vision is making Americans able to face these challenges and transcend them, and not to rely upon the expansion of the government into their lives, the expansion of the government in terms of spending their money, and go back to what made the Republican Party the party of Lincoln and Reagan.
What are some of the specific policies, Congressman, where we will see that manifested? What are some of the key issues coming up where you think Republicans will be able to outline a clear vision and potentially a clear contrast to what the majority's saying?
First and foremost, you're going to see House Republicans continue to stand against the government taking more of your hard-earned money, especially in an economic downturn. Our party does not believe in the redistribution of wealth. One of our fundamental principles is our prosperity is from the private sector, not the public sector. And as the Democrats go forward and try to raise taxes on Americans, you are going to see House Republicans mount the stand that says, no, you have taken enough, you will take no more. You will see us continue to fight on energy. An America that does not have and produce its own energy is going to be an America that is crippled in the world economy. It is going to be dangerously reliant upon foreign nations, many of which are not friendly to the United States, for our sources of energy. These are two fundamental things that will start coming down the pike that you will continue to see us fight on. You are also going to continue to see us start to tackle issues such as health care, where we want to make sure that patients and doctors are empowered to make decisions, not government bureaucrats in a one-size-fits-all policy that dictates to you who and how you will be treated medically. These are issues that the Democrats have made part of their agenda. We think they have not been as open about exact details of what their policies are, and it is up to us not only to criticize where, on a principled basis, we believe those policies will hurt the American people, but more importantly, we will also put forward policies that we believe are better. Okay. I think the American public will respond.
Congressman, as you talk about the fact that Democrats will have to divulge more details about what they want to do, you also talk about the clarity of your message going forward. Do you believe the Republican Party didn't do necessarily a great job of articulating exactly what you stood for this past couple of years?
No. The great conservative philosopher Russell Kirk pointed out that in times of chaos, when people think that the traditional ways of life are changing radically, where they feel that their economic situation is deteriorating, what happens is they start to look around for assistance from ideology or for radical change. Now, the Republican Party did not put forward an understanding that we knew that we were in transformational times. We did not put forward a vision that in these times the best thing to do is empower Americans to solve problems, not to expand the size of the government to intrude into their lives and their pocketbooks. And in failing to do so, in failing to let people understand that big changes were occurring and we had big ideas to match them, we became a party that relied upon earmarks, a party that relied upon government spending, and we became a minority. We understand that these are changing, that these are transformational times, and that people want to solve their own problems. America remains America. We also understand that they expect the Republican Party to treat America not as a nation, but as the greatest nation on earth, and ensure that we can hand that to our children. And that is our fundamental purpose. We are back to fundamental purposes and enduring principles.
What, in addition to communicating that, do you think is essential in rebuilding trust with the voters' base? Obviously, voters were upset and disgusted with the Democrats back in 1994, gave Republicans basically a dozen years of congressional control. Now it's switched back the other way again. So how do you make it clear to the voters that the Republican Party of the future is a little bit closer to 1994 than 2008?
Well, first, the Congress switched back in 2006.
Right.
This was one of the things that we continued to run into, was because we had a Republican president, many people thought that it was a Republican-controlled Congress. I think one of the things that you saw in that period of time was you saw the mother of all tax increases proposed by the Democrats. They were not able to pass it. you saw the Democrats decide that they would not allow Americans access to their own domestic natural resources to produce energy. You saw Republicans take to the House floor to say no, to try to do everything we could to make sure that the cost of living in the United States, be it at the gas pump or be it in your home heating costs, was reduced through this increased supply of American energy, through common sense conservation, and through free market innovations. Those right there will show you that the American people were on the side of the Republican Party. But unfortunately, because nothing was able to be accomplished through the Democratic-controlled Congress, we were held accountable. We are going to continue to fight for policies that make sense to the American people, and again, empower them to solve problems. In the final analysis, the most important and powerful force for America is the virtuous genius of our free people, and we will not have the government eclipse that as we move through this trying time.
Congressman, in looking at the breakdown in the Congress, what do you see as your tools for trying to make sure that some of the more radical ideas, as you see them on the left, don't advance? Obviously, the veto pen won't be there anymore, and there's still a couple outstanding Senate races that may weaken or strengthen the Senate Republicans' ability to filibuster some ideas that they disagree with. So how confident are you that you will be able to derail certain things that you think would be dangerous?
In the House, it's designed for the minority to prevail. What will ultimately derail any type of Democratic left-wing policies that may come forward is going to be us standing our ground on the House for principle, putting forward a better position, and taking our case to the American people. That is what they did in 94. That is what has been done in the great times of national trial, is better ideas put forward to the sovereign people. Did not Lincoln say, why should there not be a patient confidence in the ultimate justice of the people? Is there any better or equal hope in the world? And my answer, like Lincoln's, is no. Let's take our case to the American people. Let's put it in front of them. Do it on the basis of principle. And let's get through it. And let's see what their sovereign decision is and abide.
Congressman, you talked about some of the issues that have been raised a lot in the recent campaign and that will obviously be debated hotly over the next 2 years and probably even more than that. Where do you see potential common ground on issues with the new administration?
That's going to be up to the new administration. It's going to be up to the democratically controlled Senate. It's going to be up to the democratically controlled House. In the 2007-2008 period, we certainly did not see an attempt on the part of the House Democratic majority to work with the Republican minority. In fact, we felt like some of the silent screen actresses tied to the tracks every single day and get run over. So whether they are going to become more bipartisan with a greater majority remains to be seen.
Congressman, one of the things we saw last night, of course, is the Democrats gaining seats in the House of Representatives. The exact number, not sure yet, because there are also some of those races outstanding. We do know, though, that it looks as though Republicans have lost two congressional seats in your state of Michigan with the defeats of Tim Walberg in the 7th District and Joe Nolenberg in the 9th District. What were the conditions in Michigan and perhaps in those particular districts that worked against you?
Well, first, Michigan, much of the Midwest, and the Northeast have been on the front lines of the economic changes and social disruption of globalization. And unless Republicans were able to show that we understood this and had policies that empowered them, their concerns were going to go for the change to the party that was going to use government to ameliorate them. And as we know, government intervention generally does not solve a problem, it exacerbates it. What now we also saw in Michigan was, as you remember, Senator McCain pulled out very early out of Michigan.
Right.
And we also had Senator Levin here, who was wildly popular, which meant we had a presidential race that was, for all intents and purposes, non-existent. We had a Senate race that, for all intents and purposes, was non-existent. And the first breaker walls of the wave were your House Republicans. And there was an enormous amount of money and volunteers and paid people to come in to take out two very good gentlemen who served their country well. So what you see when you look at the rest of the country is where McCain was competitive, where there was a competitive senator-governor race, Republican members of the House had a much better chance.
We know
we
that
did not have that chance.
Just about a minute left with Congressman Thaddeus McCotter. And Congressman, we know that not long after the convention season, Senator McCain made a strategic choice to focus on Pennsylvania rather than Michigan. How much of a difference do you think it would have made, even if he had ended up losing Michigan, that he had stayed on and campaigned in terms of how it affected those House races?
Well, I think any time you have an energized Republican electorate and an energized Democratic electorate and an energized independent electorate, you're going to see that tend to balance itself out. But where you have an instance where you have an energized Democratic electorate, an energized independent electorate that is breaking for the Democrat, and a dispirited Republican base because there is no hope of winning your state, you're going to see the Republican candidates in trouble. So when Senator McCain decided not to compete in Michigan, we saw a marked drop off in Republican turnout, Republican energy, and it cost us.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. Sir, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter, who was reelected to another term in the 11th Congressional District in Michigan. He's also a member of the House Republican leadership. This is Dateline Washington.